And they came to Dr. Albert Einstein and said, we have your ticket. And he was looking for it. And he says, you know, I lost it. I lost my ticket. And the conductor said, it's okay. Everybody knows who you are. You're a very well-known man, Dr. Einstein. And so he went down the car. As he was coming back, he noticed Dr. Albert Einstein on his knees searching for his ticket under his chair. And the conductor said, Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. And he turned around and said, so do I, but what I don't know is, where am I going?
Well, if your testimony is that you once were lost, but now you're found, you're going to enjoy today's message. Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to take you outdoors to a big tent set up on Sand Island, where New Hope celebrated Easter. Well, from time to time, you may hear a little noise in the background. It's from the wind, but that's okay. Just grab a sweater and hang on to your chair. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled Lost and Found.
Hey, I'm glad you found this place. Can I say thank you to the many that came a little late and had to park in the lower 40 down over there by Kauai? So thank you. Now, be honest, how many of you were going to go to Farrington today, but you were reminded not to? Raise your hand. How many of you are going, yeah. How many of you are here because you just got lost and found yourself here? Yeah, how many of you are here because you live here? Is you homeless? But it don't matter, because you were lost, but now you are found. You're in the right place. You're in the right place. Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you don't have direction. You're found. My wife and I always have problems with directions because she's a navigator. And so when she says turn right, now I just turn left and I'm usually the correct one, you know. But we're always getting lost. It's all right. But if you argue about who's right or wrong in the directions, it'll mess you up. It's like the two Portuguese that was hunting. And they were way, way lost. And they were afraid because some animal was going to pounce on them, maybe because they didn't know where they were. Finally, they come on some tracks, and the guy goes, oh, no, that's bear tracks. The other guy said, no, that's cougar. No, that's bear tracks. The other Portuguese says, that's cougar tracks. He said, no, that's bear tracks. And then when they're arguing over what kind of tracks it was, train ran them both over. So don't argue about who's at fault. Main thing, you're here. Today, I want to talk to three people that God wants to speak to, and it's out of Luke chapter 15. We call it God's lost and found box because in Luke chapter 15, there's a story of three lost things. In God's lost and found box in Luke chapter 15, there's lost coins or money. You'll find lost animals and lost children. They're all in the lost and found box. Do you know that God has one? You ever looked in a lost and found box? We have one here at New Hope. I looked in ours. It was pretty big. And I mean, there's like Bibles and jackets and eyeglasses and sweaters, cell phone, a couple of kids. And you didn't pick them up after Sunday school, that's why. And I looked, but what caught my eye was there's a Mont Blanc pen in there. Now those things are super expensive, over $100. And I looked in there and I said to the lady, how long do these lost and found stay lost before they're found? She said, 30 days and then they're donated to ministry. I said, 30 days and donated to ministry. She said, I said to her, I'm all about ministry. I am ministry. And I said, and after 30 days, I said, you see this real junk pen in here? It didn't work. Someone found it. Someone claimed it. I think they lied. I think it's Pastor Elwin. But God has a lost and found as well. And it's in Luke chapter 15. And he's going to speak to different people. You see, there's going to be a season in each and every single one of our lives where we're going to find ourselves in God's lost and found box. There's going to be times in your life where your direction isn't clear, your future isn't bright. You don't have everything lined up. Nothing is all organized yet. It's still kind of ambivalent. There's going to be times in your life where your marriage isn't clear. Your job isn't certain. Your future isn't quite clean. And you'll find yourself in God's lost and found box. And you keep going. But you don't really know where you're going. You just know that every day you're doing the same thing and you're in God's lost and found box for a season. Do you know that you can be going in a direction and really not knowing where you're going until it's too late? We just keep pressing on. That happened some years ago when I was in Hilo. We were going to do a tour, just a musical tour through the Northwest. So I was going to do some preaching, and then I took three Hawaiian guys with me because we want to do some Hawaiian music. And so I was a guitar player and preacher and singer, but I was also chauffeur because they didn't know the Northwest. And so I was the driver. Now, one of the things I tell you, one of the things you don't want to do is travel with three Hawaiian guys, big guys. Because these Hawaiians, I tell you, first of all, they have no sense of direction. Secondly, you are always hungry because they ate everything before I got to it. These guys, they're just having a great time, and we were traveling all over. But one day I was so tired. I said, man, I'm just so tired. And we were leaving Medford, Oregon on our way to Seattle. I said, I'm so tired. And one of the guys said, hey, I'll drive. I said, but you don't know this place. He said, where are we going? I said, Seattle. He says, how do you get there? I said, well, we're on I-5, and this is like a long street, because you got to say street. You can't say freeway, because they're from Hilo. So you can say, this is a big, long street. These bugger goes long ways. So he said, okay, what? I said, stay on this street as far as you can. And if you have to go to the restroom, there's rest stops about every 30 miles, and it'll loop you back on. Okay, can you do that? Yeah. So I went in the back seat, and they were playing their ukuleles and having a great time and driving. I fell fast asleep. Now, 2 hours later, I get up, and I just, oh, man, thanks, you guys, for driving. Yeah, and then we just passed this sign that said Medford coming up 20 miles. I said, whoa, whoa. I said, wait. I said, we're going the wrong way. They said, what? Yeah. I said, what are we doing? We're heading back to Medford after 2 hours. And what I found out was they stopped at a rest stop, and when they went to the turnabout, they went one half time too many and kept going. I thought, I cannot travel with you Hawaiians. We need more Portuguese in this world. But sometimes you can be lost and not know it. You can be lost and not know where you're going. And you just stay in that place. And that's what God's lost and found box is all about. There's a story about Albert Einstein that I was reading that just really spoke to me about that. There's a day that Dr. Einstein was going to the city, and he was on this train, and the conductor came and started punching these tickets. And they came to Dr. Albert Einstein and said, could we have your ticket? And he was looking for it. And he says, you know, I lost it. I lost my ticket. And the conductor said, it's okay. Everybody knows who you are. You're a very well-known man, Dr. Einstein. He said, yeah, but I lost my... He said, don't worry about it. Don't worry. We know who you are. And so he went down the car. And as he was coming back, he noticed Dr. Albert Einstein on his knees searching for his ticket under his chair. And the conductor said, Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. And he turned around and said, so do I, but what I don't know is, where am I going? I want you to know where you're going today. And God wants you to know where you're going. And that's what Easter is all about, to give you the assurance that you know where you're going one day. And so God's lost and found box out of Luke 15 speaks to three people. And the first is likened unto a lost animal or lost sheep. Let me read to you this parable. It goes like this. So he told them this parable, saying, what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. God likens us to sheep, lost sheep. Isaiah says it this way, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us turned to his own way. Now, God sometimes likens us to sheep, but I want you to know it's not the most glorious comparison. Because if you know anything about sheep, they're not really that smart sometimes. They're not the brightest bulb in the lamp. You know, sheep have poor eyesight, they're bad swimmers, and they don't walk. You notice they boing. They just boing, 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 boing. And they'll follow anything. I mean, they can all be going one way, and one sheep will look and say,
"Oh, look, Delbert, he's going to the left. What should we do? Let's follow Delbert."
And they just kind of, you know, it's just, what? One of the other things about sheep is this. They have a bad sense of direction. So bad that if they get lost, they cannot find their way back on their own. Listen to this. If there's a lost sheep, that sheep must be found. And God likens us to that. That's why sheep need a shepherd. You might be here today, and you might feel that you're one of those, that you're kind of lost. But the Bible says something really interesting. It says, when the shepherd finds the sheep, here's a picture. He lays the sheep on his shoulders and returns rejoicing because that which was lost is now found, and they rejoice. Let me tell you something worse than a lost sheep. It's not a sheep that's lost. It's a sheep that chooses to stay lost. It doesn't want the shepherd to find them. And when he does, he hides from them. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? But we do that all the time. Because the Bible says that all of heaven rejoices more when one sinner repents. What's that word mean? It means to turn back to. When you were going one way, repentance means you realize it's the wrong direction. And when the shepherd appears, you turn to him. That's the word called repentance. And the Bible says rejoicing happens when repentance takes place. In the book of Acts chapter 3, it has a beautiful scripture about that. And it says this, "Repent therefore and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." And here's the neat part. That he might send Jesus Christ appointed for you. Did you know that Jesus Christ has an appointment with you? Every man and woman of child will have an appointment with God. And especially if you find yourself in his lost and found box. Some of you were once close to the shepherd, but you're not now. Today you have an appointment with God. Some of you were following him pretty closely, and then you turn to your own way and you find yourself caught, polarized. Today you have an appointment with God. There's some of you that the direction isn't clear anymore in your life, and you're here today because you have an appointment with God. The first group, or the first person that Jesus wants to speak to, are those that are like lost sheep. Jonah was like that in the Old Testament. God spoke to Jonah and said, "Go to Nineveh." Instead, he bought a one-way ticket and went the opposite direction to Tarshish. It wasn't until he was in the belly of a whale that he came to his senses and he had an appointment with God. And that whale made a U-turn in the Mediterranean, took him back to where he was supposed to be. You might feel like Jonah, where you were going one way with God and you made a U-turn the other way. And now the conflicts are taking place. You have an appointment with God. Today, at the end of the service, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to him who is the shepherd who's coming for you, to embrace you, because you have an appointment with God. The second person that Jesus wants to talk to today out of his lost and found box is found in Luke 15 as well, and it's about a coin, a lost coin. Listen to this story. What woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I've found the coin which I had lost." In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. lost coin. Some of you might feel like that. You're not as valuable as you thought you were, or maybe worth less. And you live with that sense of worthlessness, lost coin. My dad used to call me Lose Money Cordero. When I would mess up on something, he'd look at me and shake his head, Lose Money Cordero. Some of you might feel like lose money people. But you know, one of the tactics of the enemy is to reduce your sense of self-worth and keep you that way. Because once you have a lessened self-worth, what you'll do is you'll find ways to avoid the things of God. You'll disqualify yourself from the blessings of God because you're not worthy, you're not worthwhile, you're not needed, you're not valuable enough. And if the enemy can do that, make you feel that way, then you'll disqualify yourself. He doesn't have to disqualify you. You'll do that yourself. You will cut yourself out of God's blessings. It's a tactic of the enemy. In fact, in Daniel chapter 7, we find these poignant words that talk about his tactics. Listen to this. Daniel 7:25 speaks of the devil. It says, he will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. He will what? He will wear down. That's a picture of a coin. In the old days, they used to mint gold coins. They would mint it with the impression or the image of the emperor on it in relief. And that coin was worth basically how many grams of gold were contained in that coin. And if through commerce, if someone got your coin and they noticed the image of the emperor, the king, if it were worn down, then they would actually put it on a scale with a weight that is measured as what it would have been when it was minted. And if your coin is lighter than what it should be, it means that through, just by measure of use, by reason of commerce, by people's hands handling that, it will have worn down enough grams of gold that which was used to be a $20 piece is really now worth about $17 or $16 because they'll find that it's lighter than it should be. So even though you have a $20 gold piece, you'll still owe $4 or $3 because it was worn down. The image is worn down. And there's sometimes, even as this lost coin, there's going to be seasons where you'll feel worn down. Might be through a betrayal, some failures, or just by reason of people handling you or maybe abusing you. And you feel that the image of God that He created you in is no longer there. There's some of you that have been abused or even molested, and you feel worthless. You have an appointment with God today. There's some of you here that don't feel like you're needed anymore. You're an empty nester. You think, God, nobody needs me anymore. You have an appointment with God today. There's some of you that say, God, can you use me in any way? My life is shambles. Can you use me? You have an appointment with God. You're in God's lost and found box. But you know, I was reading this, and I got to admit, it says, if you lose one sheep and you had 100, now you got 99, won't you leave the 99 and just leave them and go find the one? And you know what I thought? No way, I'd stay with the 99. And then it said, and if you lost one coin out of 10, would you not turn your house upside down? And when you found that coin, wouldn't you go out and get your neighbors and have a party? I thought, no way, if I lost a quarter and I found it, and if I go and get my neighbors and say, hey, come, let's have a party, I found the quarter I lost. They'd look at me like, you're weird. And I remember saying to God, I wouldn't do that. And this is what I heard the Lord say. That's right, because it's not an animal or a coin. It's my children. And that kind of extravagant love you may not have, but I wanted you to know that I have that kind of extravagant love for my kids. Because the next parable sums it all up, and it's the prodigal son. The son that left. The son that had an inheritance, and he took it and he squandered it. He squandered it with loose living. And he had nothing left. He had to actually hire himself out to a piggery to feed pigs. And it was in the middle of him feeding pigs that he looked at that food and he said, man, this looks good. I want to eat this. In fact, he said, wait a minute. My father's servants have more than this. Why did I take my inheritance and squander it and leave home thinking I am independent enough I can make it on my own? What have I done? There's going to be times when conflict comes into your life. And God uses conflict to remind you that you have an appointment with God. Because then he gets your attention. I remember when I went into the ministry, I had packed my bags with some pretty bad perspectives and opinions about people in the church. And I had a lot of insecurities. And I found out that what used to work for me when I was younger was now working against me as a young father. And I was being sidelined in relationships. I was being disqualified from leadership. I was being kicked out of basketball games because of my anger and my temper. And I noticed that the little veneer of my life began to peel away, exposing this huge, massive amount of insecurity. But I remember someone named Larry Chapman in his 70s. He lived about 30 minutes south of where Anna and I were living. And he just became sort of a grandfather to me. And he counseled me and helped me. And I remember calling him up saying, Larry, I hate people. We could do better without them. What do you think? And he'd say, this is what he'd say, come down, let's have soup. He'd make soup. I think, though, more so, he knew that the 30-minute drive to his house would cool me down enough so that I'd be finally reasonable. And when I would arrive, he'd have soup on the stove, and he'd ladle some for me and some for him, and I would vent and vent. And then he would give me wise pieces of advice. And when I would talk about all the conflict in my life, I remember him so clearly reminding me, and he'd say, you know, Wayne, sometimes conflict in your life, it's like the rumble strips on the side of the freeway to warn drivers that they're veering off the asphalt and that they need to make a correction. Now he said, Wayne, you can grumble against the noise, you can curse the noise, or you can heed the rumble strips. It's up to you. And I remember him talking about that in my life. You see, the prodigal son had hit some rumble strips. And the noise was getting nauseating. And before he went off the asphalt, he knew he needed to make a choice. And it was there in the rumble strips of life that you'll have an appointment with God. Jonah did. Moses did. So did the prodigal son. And he turned back home. And it was there when he came home. He must have been filthy and dirty from feeding pigs. He probably smelled like a pig. And I want you to know, his father reached out and embraced him. Just like he was. Listen carefully. Doesn't matter how dirty your past is. When you reach out and touch Christ, you won't defile him, but it will transform you. And that's what I'm asking you to do today. If you're in God's lost and found box, to reach out and touch him, you won't defile God. No. But it will transform you. As we close the service today, I want to give you a chance, if you find yourself in God's lost and found box, to be able to say, Lord, I am that person. I'm there. And as you reach out and touch him, you won't defile God, but it'll transform you because you have an appointment with God, each one of you. Repeat this prayer after me. Would you say this? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and you died for my sins that I might have life everlasting. Forgive me, make me new, and draw me close to you. I say this so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, that's the cry of our heart. Thank you for embracing us, those who are in your lost and found box. May this Easter be the beginning of a fresh new start. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. welcome these who made that decision to follow Jesus as Lord and as Savior.
You have just heard a message entitled Lost and Found by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Once again, that was given outdoors under the big tent on Sand Island, so you may have heard a little noise there in the background. We hope you enjoyed the message. We'd like to encourage you to visit our website where you'll find other helpful resources from Pastor Wayne. Just go to www.enewhope.org. You'll find his books, tapes, videos, and much, much more. That's enewhope.org. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.